listening to The Afternoon Shift on WBEZ and WBEZ.org. I'm Nyla Boodoo. Our book club selection for April is Michelle Obama, A Life. It's the unauthorized biography by Peter Slevin. If you hadn't had a chance to check it out, it came out last week. Peter's going to be in studio next week, so definitely get a chance to read it. If you have questions about book club, you can email us at afternoonshift@WBEZ.org, or you can tweet to us, as always, at WBEZ Afternoon. But right now, we're talking about another Chicago book. Fun Chicago fact. The first successful open-heart surgery was performed here in 1893 by African-American cardiologist Daniel Hale Williams. Of course, it's been in the last 50 years that cardiothoracic surgery has grown by leaps and bounds. Often fatal conditions are now easily fixed by procedures that were pioneered in the last few decades. Through it all, Chicago native Dr. Dino Tatulis has been on the front line. The cardiothoracic surgeon traveled the world perfecting life-saving procedures, including the quintuple bypass surgery, which saved his own life. Dr. Dino has shared his experiences in a new book. It's called Heartbeats. It's written by his brother, Jim Tatulis, and both of them are in studio with me now. Welcome to The Afternoon Shift.
Welcome. We're glad to be here.
And I should mention before we get started that you all are doing a lecture on this and a book party on Sunday at 3 o'clock at the National Hellenic Museum in Greektown.
Yes, we're looking forward to it.
Now, Jim and Dr. Dino, this is sort of a funny book. Even if you look at the cover, it's got some great illustrations that are fun. Why did you decide to do a humorous book about heart surgery?
Well, heart surgery is such a serious matter, and it's something that many people experience with trepidation in their life. And we wanted to be able to show that there's a funny side to it. The doctors are really human people. They have funny experiences, and actually, my brother told me, he said that if he ever had to have an operation, he'd rather have a heart operation than a stomach operation. He fulfilled that wish.
And the mortality is less as well.
Okay, well, that's a good reason too, right? Dr. Dino, when you started off as an intern at the University of Chicago,
yes,
what was cardiovascular surgery like then, and what year was that?
That was in 1961 when I began my residency at the USC. And there was no such real thing as heart surgery. It didn't exist. It was in the early stages. There were a few places around the country that were doing them. And one guy in Sweden that did the first external heart operation. And then it started to get a little bit more popular. And then Dr. Blaylock at Johns Hopkins Hospital was the one that really started working on the little blue babies. But there's been a long history, and the operations took forever. And today they take maybe 1.5 hours compared to 7 or 8 hours in the past.
And when you say little blue babies, you mean that was pediatric heart surgery then?
It was active external heart surgery. Mm. They didn't perfect the way to correct the defects inside the heart. They rerouted the blood outside of the heart to make the baby pink again.
How did you end up a heart surgeon? How did you end up in this field?
The way it began was when I was in physiology at Loyola Medical School. I decided to get a master's degree in physiology. So I went to my physiology professor and I said, I'd like to get a degree in physiology. He said, it's harder to get into medical school than it is to get into graduate school. So what we'll do is we'll design a program for you to get your MD degree and your master's degree. Now you got to come up with a research project. Well, not much was being done about coronary artery disease then. So I elected to use my topic as what happens to the heart muscle when you occlude the coronary artery that supplies that portion of the heart muscle. And that was my master's thesis.
I'm speaking to two brothers, Dr. Dino Tatulis and his brother Jim, who authored a book that's called Heartbeats, and we're talking about the book that they have written, that Jim has written. Jim, why did you decide, how long did you take to write this book of your brother's stories?
Actually, it's something that was accumulated over the years. I've had the hobby of writing basically about family matters. My brother had a lot of unique stories that he would tell me through the years, and I would write them down just to journalize them. And when we got together and we decided we were going to write a book together, it first started out to be called Heart Attack or Heartburn.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Because you can't tell the difference.
And Dr. Dino, this actually happened to you.
Yes.
You had a heart attack when you were actually performing surgery?
Correct.
And how can you explain to us how that came up, like how that happened?
I had just finished performing a operation at the carotid endarterectomy, cleaning out one of the arteries going to the head. And as I walked out of the operating room, all of a sudden my scrub suit became saturated. I was drowsing wet, and I became very lightheaded. And I told the nurse, I said, you know, I have to go lay down in recovery. And she looked at me, she said, oh, there's a lot of flu going around, you know, but lay down. So I went and lay down, and the other nurse came by, and I said, do me a favor. I said, could you please do a cardiogram on me just so I can see what it looks like? She says, when was your last cardiogram? I said, probably never. I don't remember.
Oh, no. This is a classic case of the doctor being the worst patient.
Right. That's
huh,
exactly
Dr.
right. So she did the cardiogram, and I saw it, and I said, oh, my God. So I said, fax this to my son over at Christ.
Because your son is also a cardiothoracic. Is
correct.
A cardiologist.
Cardiac surgeon.
He's a cardiac surgeon
right.
also. Okay.
But he was in Minnesota giving a talk. So his partner came to pick me up in the recovery room at the Holy Cross Hospital. And the nurses were getting very upset because they were saying, he's having a heart attack. And you're taking him out. He says, well, we're taking him to a place that we're going to treat him right away. And this was at 5:30 in the afternoon on a Friday night.
Oh, no. There was a lot of traffic then.
Oh, so, well, it's not too far from there. So we got in there, and Pat Pappas, who was the surgeon, had the cardiac cath team ready. They were in the cath lab. They did the cardiac cath, which is a picture of your blood vessels. And I looked at the picture while they were doing it. He said, where do you want to be? I said, I want to be in the operating room. He says, it's all set. We're ready for it. And he took us in there.
And you had is that when you had your bypass then?
I had five done, yes.
You had a quintuple bypass.
Quintuple, correct.
And Jim, when your brother told, was that the story that you thought we need to write these down and we need to make a book about this?
Well, that's exactly right, because we were going to make this more technical, and we were saying there's so many people, there's over 1 million people that have heart procedures a year, and it would be something that would be, you know, have an interesting audience. But then we said it's so technical and people get tired of that. What typically happened was no matter what party would my brother would go to, or if he would go to some affair, somebody inevitably would come up to him and ask him questions. And he would say, Doc, I've got this thing wrong with me. What do you think I should do? Doc, should I have a stent or an open heart? Doc, I just had heart surgery. How long will it be before I can have sex again? And so he's got all these questions, and we were going to have that as the basis of the book.
How'd you answer that one?
This is very interesting because I was at the
this
National
is public
Heart
radio.
Institute.
I feel like I should add as well as you answer that question.
And we had the greatest chief of cardiac surgery at the Heart Institute in Bethesda at the National Institutes of Health. His name was Dr. Glenn Morrow. And when patients would ask him, Dr. Morrow, when can I have sex? He'd say, have it with your wife first and then your girlfriend.
Okay. That's probably not necessarily the answer they were looking for, but they laughed, right? Now, Jim, what's your favorite anecdote? There's some amazing stories in this book. Do you have a favorite one?
I think the first one in the book is probably one of my favorite because my brother and I have always been close. We were unfortunately, my mother was unfortunately widowed at a young age. I was 13, my brother was 11, and
10.
We lost our father. So our mother took it upon herself to just watch over us and take care of us, and we dedicated the book to her. And so after Dino got through medical school, he was working as an extern at the hospital close by to where we lived. And a car filled with a pregnant woman who was in delivery. They couldn't make it to go downtown, so they pulled off and came into the emergency parking lot and proceeded to start having the baby. And so my brother ran out and delivered the baby in the front seat of this car. He couldn't wait to tell my mother what he did.
That's pretty good for a heart surgeon.
Well, I was an intern at the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. But this was in the evening, so he waited until the morning, and he was so excited, and he called Mom and said, Mom, this is what happened, and so-and-so. So, Mom.
No, I said, guess what I did last night?
Yeah, right.
And she said, "What did you do, Padaiki?" My little boy. I said, "Mom, I delivered a baby." She said, "Oh, my God, was there a doctor present?"
She was talking to her child, not to the doctor.
Yeah.
Now, in all seriousness, this book is a lot of fun, but I was thinking about the story that of what happened to you, Dr. Dino, and of you having a heart attack and kind of experiencing it. But I don't know if you saw the news story. There was a study out last week about how particularly women are having heart attacks and not recognizing it, and even their doctors aren't recognizing it. And so I wondered, as someone who's not just had this entire of decades of careers as a cardiothoracic surgeon, but also experienced it yourself, what do you want people to know about this?
Well, first you have to understand the bell-shaped curve. Ever see that before? It looks like a bell. And mm-hmm. you have the median in the middle, and then you have the down slopes on either side. Well, that explains so many things in science. For instance, no two people look alike on the outside, no two people look alike on the inside, and no two people think alike. And no two people's physiology works the same, but they're on that bell-shaped curve. So some people are on one side where they have a tremendous amount of pain, or average pain, or like me, I had absolutely zero pain. So you have to think like a bell-shaped curve. And this way you get a broader idea of what's happening. And now, because of the awareness of the population, they're looking at the women more frequently now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We asked Jim what his favorite story was in the book. We didn't ask you.
I like them all. I mean, they're
which one do you want? We have a minute or two left. Which one do you want to share with us?
When I wanted to take my Uncle John to the hospital, my grandfather's brother, and he's a short guy. He's about 5'5", 5 feet around. He had a restaurant across the street from the old Mercy Hospital. Then they redid the whole area, and so then he lived on Indiana and Roosevelt on 22nd. And he opened up a little hot dog stand, and he had it on the back of his car. So in the morning, he'd go by R.R. Donnelly and sell hot dogs. Well, a lot of us would come by Uncle John's and have a hot dog, but I was at the University of Chicago, and I was the closest one. And when I would go there, he'd always tell me to take a Polish, not the hot dog. Anyhow, one day I went there, and he wasn't at the stand, so I went to his house, and he was telling me that he wasn't feeling good. I said, "Okay, Uncle John, you got to go into the hospital for a checkup." He said, "I'm not going to the hospital unless you're going to take care of me." I said, "Uncle John, I'm on the heart service. I can't do that." "No, no, that's the only way I'll go." So I admitted him to the UC. And the next day, we're making rounds with Dr. Adams, who was my chief. And this guy is absolutely spectacular. When he would go into a patient's room, instead of standing at the foot of the bed, he'd get a chair and he'd put it next to the bed. And he'd talk to the patient like he was there all afternoon or all morning. And then he would leave. Well, rounds was accumulation of the professor, the residents, and the medical students. So now we came to my granduncle. And he says, "Dino, what are you doing?" I said, "Well, my uncle..." He said, "Why is he here?" I said, "Because my uncle wouldn't come in unless I was under his care." He said, "Well, what are you doing for him?" He said, "I see he's overweight, small, sharp. You've got him on a 700-calorie-a-day diet. You're having him go to physical therapy, and you want him to see a psychiatrist because you think he's a little depressed."
No.
So he looks at me and says, "Do you love your uncle?" I said, "Of course I love my uncle." He said, "Then why are you putting him through all the torture of a 700-calorie-a-day diet, which he probably likes to look forward to go and do physical therapy would be very difficult, and then you humiliate him by sending him to a psychiatrist." I said, "Okay." And that was through, and he was laughing.
Okay. Well, that's just one of the stories that is in the book, Heartbeats, which is written by Jim Tatulis, about his brother, their stories of his brother, Dr. Dino Tatulis, who's been in studio with me. Thanks for being with me.
Thank you very much.
If you all would like to hear more, they have an event at the National Hellenic Museum this Sunday at 3 o'clock. Of course, it's in Greektown. Thanks for being with me again.
Thank you so much. This was so much fun.
Thank you.